Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I am so excited that you're here with us today. And boy, do we have a show for you. Let me just tell you just a little bit of what we're going to go over today and what you can expect to receive. We're going to be talking about the best way to find the right people to connect with and what to say, and we're going to do that on LinkedIn. We're going to talk about why LinkedIn should be a part of your social media strategy, what the top three areas of your LinkedIn profile that are the most important. We're going to talk about some best practices, and our guest today is going to give away her top tip so you don't look like a LinkedIn newbie. So we have Linda Waterhouse here with us today. I'm so excited to have her, and let me tell you a little bit about her. So Linda Waterhouse is an award-winning digital marketing strategist who helps small businesses and professionals get noticed, get connected, and get clients. She shows motivated business owners and professionals how to leverage LinkedIn for personal branding and for generating an endless stream of leads. She's also the co-author of Turn Knowledge into Profits and is featured in the third edition of The Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn for Business. She was honored to be named a 2018 Top 25 New Jersey Leading Woman Entrepreneur Brand Builder. And when she's not working, she can be found biking, playing pickleball, or hiking. Can't wait to hear about that. And I was actually born in New Jersey. So Linda, I'm really excited to have you. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, I am delighted that we got the chance to, and our schedules finally meshed, Patty. So where in New Jersey were you born?
Irvington.
Okay. So that's east. I'm actually west in the part of New Jersey. That's why it's called the Garden State.
Oh, how beautiful is that? I was really spent most of my time down in Seaside Heights and Lake Hiawatha before we moved. But yes, I always love to say those are my Jersey roots and I love it. And I like to get back there as often as I can. So since we're talking about where we're from, we also know that we didn't wake up every day and think to ourselves, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And magically we were there. There's always a journey, right? So can you share with us a little bit about your journey and how you got to what you're doing now?
Oh, all right. I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. I started out my career as a software engineer up in Massachusetts. And then for a variety of reasons, I stopped working and raised my kids for a while, went back to school, took some classes in websites. And back in 1997, you know, 98, that was about all there was in the internet at that point. And so fast forward a few years and I got a job working part-time with a man who had a very small digital marketing company. He was a great guy. Unfortunately, he was killed in a motorcycle accident and his wife asked me to continue his legacy. I never thought that I'd be a business owner, but I saw this quote from Richard Branson: if an opportunity arises and you don't know how to do it, say yes, figure it out later. And that's what I've been doing. So I've been doing all sorts of digital marketing, but a few years ago, I really wanted to niche down on one. I'm the kind of person I like to, you know and be an expert on a topic. And at that point, Facebook was kind of in the news a lot for various reasons. And I looked at LinkedIn as the best place to help people who mean business about doing business. They're serious. There's fewer rants. You know, you can concentrate on doing business. And so I've been doing LinkedIn, and I've been just fascinated about what a great platform it is that I, like most people, really thought it was only for job seekers. It is great for lead generation, and more people are finding that out, especially now that we're home and we can't go to face-to-face meetings.
I think that's so true. And I think one of the things that people don't realize about LinkedIn is really what the great SEO value is, because it doesn't matter how great your SEO is on your website, it's not going to top LinkedIn. And that's why I think more often than not, when someone searches for you, your LinkedIn profile is going to come up even before your website. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh my gosh. You are on my team. I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because most people do not know that at all. People are Googling each other all the time. And I remember when I would be Googling people, and all of a sudden one day it occurred to me, oh my gosh, people are Googling me. I should find out what's showing up. So I invite everybody to Google themselves to see what comes up. And you're right. Most of the time, our LinkedIn profile comes up, and even before our website. And not only that, but LinkedIn is very searchable by Google. So a lot of times the keywords that we put, and we'll talk about this later, the keywords that we put in our LinkedIn profile can really be help us be found on Google, even without our name. I can, you know, if we have time later, I'll share a story of one of my clients that I was just, you know, shocked what happened.
Okay, we're going to make sure that we add that to the list. I think that is really interesting too, because I think that we've been having a lot of shifting. And so I know that one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on so we could talk about profiles and the things that people do, because I think what happens is we learn something and we think, oh yeah, that's how we're supposed to do it. And we continue to do it that way, and we don't shift with what's happening right in the current environment. And I think one of the biggest shifts that search for sure is that we do so much more voice search now, right? It used to be that everybody just typed in to Google, as you said, and that's all we thought we needed to do. And so we wrote that way, right? Mm-hmm. But now we have to write for a human connection, because it is a human who is talking into devices and searching for you, and you need to be able to come up. And then not only that, but we have other search engines, right? It used to always be Google was the end all be all. But I mean, even Pinterest right now is a visual search engine. Not really. It has a social media component to it, but it is really a visual search engine. And so the reality really is LinkedIn is probably more important than ever. And to be able to know how to use it effectively to search is so key. So I really want us to kind of to dive in with that. But really, here's the question that everybody wants to know. So let's just start with that, right? So what is the best way to find the right people to connect to? And what should you say to them? Because, you know, people are like, oh, I want trying to find the right people. Well, you know, the definition of that really is, well, what's the right people according to you, right? Which would be who are our ideal clients or, you know, partners, et cetera. So what's the best way to find the quote unquote right people to connect to? And what should we say to them? Because I have to tell you, when people send me requests, the things that people say crack me up.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I hate to say it, but for some reason, there must be something on my profile that's triggering this, because the last 2 days I've gotten two, not inappropriate, but just, you know, two messages from guys who are like, you know, hey, I'd like to learn more about you. And it's like, I hope everyone out there knows that LinkedIn is not a dating app, and I just report them right away. So it is, you were right. It is kind of funny what people will say. But, and what a lot of people don't know is that LinkedIn has excellent filtering abilities. And so that's why it's really important that we update our LinkedIn profile so that we are found for the things that we think that our ideal clients are looking for. A lot of people try to get clever. You know, they'll say that they're a guru or a ninja or, you know, something else. But there's particular areas in your profile where that's appropriate, and other areas where you really need to be thinking about what the other people are typing in or speaking that they're going to use to search for us. So that's one of the things that, you know, I cover in my classes and in my with my VIP clients, because, you know, there's places to be cutesy and other places, you know, that we shouldn't be. So even the free version of LinkedIn has very good filtering filtering features. We can filter on job title. We can filter on location. We can filter on whether we're first or second or third degree connections. And so what's great about it is that once we create a search that we feel is giving us the right kind of people, we can even save that search, even in the free version, and we can connect with those people. And every week, we can get a notification when there's new people on the LinkedIn platform that meet that new criteria. So we can have an endless supply of people that we want to meet. Now, Sales Navigator, which I don't encourage people to buy it until they are ready, until they really think they're going to use it. But Sales Navigator has even better filters, so we can really pinpoint who we want to search for.
So say you send a request, you know, it cracks me up how like you can just send that request. You don't have to send a message, but I believe the message is the most important part, right? Like, you know, It is the most important part. So what are some tips you would give for someone of what they should put in when they are sending, when they're the person that is sending the request?
Yes. Well, you are absolutely right that we need to give people a reason. We need to, and usually, you know, we want to show that we have read their profile or there's something about them that we're interested in. We never, ever, ever want to just send the default. And you can see in, if you hit the My Network tab, you can look and see the connection requests. And the ones that have a personal message just stand out among them. So I get a lot of people that say, you know, I don't know who these people are. I don't know whether to connect with them. But once you hit the, you know, connect button, and it does say right now it says, you know, we've sent off your message. You can add a note. Well, we just did an experiment and they don't really send off that connection message until you either say add a note or you're done. So you do have time to add a note. But the notes that I write, I try to take, you know, 1 or 2 minutes looking at their profile to see something that stands out to me. Perhaps we have a common connection, but instead of saying, you know, oh, I see we have 15 mutual connections, you know, maybe mention one of the people and see if there's any kind of, you know, connection that we can do a mutual introduction for. Another thing we might say is, we might notice a post that they posted and say, you know, how much we appreciated that particular tip that they shared with us, you know, something personal. What I do a lot now is, especially since we're on so many Zoom calls, if there are people in the Zoom call that I feel would be a good connection, and those connections can either be people that I think might eventually be clients or good referral partners, people who service similar people to who I serve, I will open up the participants pop-up in Zoom and find those people and, you know, connect and say, you know, since we were both on this, you know, the meeting for like last week, I was on the Lower Bucks Chamber of Commerce Women's Conference. You know, since we were both on this, I thought it was a great reason to connect. Let's have a conversation. Actually, I don't say that in the first message, but that is the goal ultimately.
I think that makes sense because I have to tell you, seems like for a long time, once people jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, I should send a message, the messages that I were getting were something similar to someone saying, oh, I would love for us to jump on a call and, you know, see, you know, where we may be able to do business together. Now, I have to tell you, I think that's nice, but it just really is too soon, right? Yes. Like, you don't really even know me. You don't know anything about me, really, to be able to want to jump on a call to talk about that. Because I don't know about you, but to me, my time is almost worth more than my money, right? And so I think that is really important, unless you're going to tell me why, right? You know, I always like to, like what you said, choose something. You know, sometimes, like, for example, this week, I got connected to a few people that I sent the message that I had seen them elsewhere talking about a topic that I thought was interesting. And I reached out to them to connect on LinkedIn and said, I saw a blog or heard of you on a podcast and you were talking about this topic. And I think that may be a really great topic for my podcast. And I would love to have a brief conversation about that. So now I'm telling them why I want to talk to them, not just that, oh yeah, let's just see if maybe we could do business together. Because I have to tell you, I could have 1,000 people tell me that, I'm in marketing, right? You know, that they could possibly do business with me, right? So I think that you have to narrow down and really almost like pique curiosity as to, well, I absolutely would love to jump on a call with you, right? And I really find that more people will say yes if you say brief. Because the reality is that that first call, all I really want to be able to do is see if we need to have the next call, right? Which we could deep dive the next time. So let's just have a 15 or 20 minute call and see, you know, almost like pre-qualify, like where should the next call be?
Right. And quite honestly, I misspoke before. I was kind of jumping the gun. I never, I mean, unless there's a great connection beforehand, I never ask for a phone call on the connection request. I just don't. Because as you said, it's just too soon. People's time is very important these days.
Yeah, I think that really is. But then again, it's like what to say when people send you one and you look, you say, oh, wow, you know, we have some things in common. And so you say yes, right? You accept it. And then like, what do you say then? Like, what is like the next thing? If somebody sends you a request, what are some tips on what people should be thinking about when they follow up after they accept? What should they say? Because I'm going to tell you, somebody could send you one, you could accept, and then it goes nowhere. Like you never take it any further, which was kind of a waste, right? So what is the next step? Because you don't know if that person sent 10 people a request and, you know, and unless you're one of those people that go in every day and check, I also see people who accept my request and it was literally, I actually track, but, and it could be weeks before they do, which also tells me something.
Yes. And they're not, that might not be the best platform to communicate with that person because they're not on it every day. I agree with everything that you said. So we have to think about, and you know, this is probably exactly what you teach, is that we have to build that know, like, and trust factor. And people we know are much more interested in themselves than they are in us. So what I like to do is give them something of value. We can invite them to be in a group that we think they might get some value of. We can offer them something that we wrote or a video that can give them some information. Now, I'm going to give your audience an extra tip that these days it works better if you ask for permission to send a link to something first. Don't just send them the link because
that's a way to stand out right there. Just that right there.
Yes. So what I will do is, you know, I'll say I recorded a video that talks about the top three things that you absolutely must do on your LinkedIn profile. Are you interested? If so, you know, please reply yes, and I'll send you the link. And that seems to get a lot more responding than just sending the link.
I agree with that because I know that when I connect with someone, if the very first thing that they send me is invite me to a group or give me something that I have to opt into, right there, that was sales. Like that was sales, you're prospecting, you didn't even really... We didn't even have a conversation yet. You already want me to like give you my email address, and which technically once we're connected, you actually already have in my contact information. But I feel like that's kind of icky. Like, you know, I don't really like it when people do that. I have actually, if that's all I hear from them, I'll remove their. I have removed connections like the same day that I got the connection. Mm-hmm. If I don't think that they act appropriately. So you're right. Asking permission if I want that. Because the reality is, if, say, for example, we'll just use your example. I'm not saying you would do it inappropriately. I'm just using it as an example. If you said, oh, I have this, you know, report or video that I did on the best ways, you know, in your profile headline, that could almost be taken from somebody that, why, you think there's something wrong with my headline? Right? You know what I mean? It's like, so... The thing is, if you've never had a conversation with somebody, you really don't even know, because this is sort of like, I'm in marketing. It's like you're offering a solution to a problem you don't know if they even have yet. Yes, you're assuming they have that problem, which never is good, right? You know, and so I do think it should be really careful the words you use here, because it's going to make or break that relationship.
Well, that's why I think that it works better to ask for permission to send something rather than just sending it. And you know, one thing that I have noticed is that there are different approaches that work for different people, and nothing works all the time.
Absolutely.
One thing that I also like to do is to ask people if there's one thing about them that I couldn't find on their LinkedIn profile. So I try to get a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be anything.
I like that though. That's good.
And that works for most people. And I've gotten the most fascinating responses. Somebody, I don't know, did a soundboard for Elton John. You know, somebody else used to be a rodeo guy. I mean, people have the most fascinating backgrounds. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they won't go further, much further than that. But sometimes it does lead to an online conversation. And eventually we might decide that they are interested. You know, only 3%, I forget who did that study, but at any given time, only 3% of people are looking for our service and actively are seeking it. So, you know, what do we do for the 97% of the other people? You know, we need to build relationships. And that's the way I look at LinkedIn. It's not anything quick, but it feels more authentic to me that I'm building relationships and learning more about the people.
And I think that relationships are the currency in the environment that we're in right now. One of the things that has really worked for me is, now, obviously I'm in marketing, right? So when I am having a conversation with someone, especially right now, mm-hmm. one of the things that I say is, you know, I love LinkedIn and using LinkedIn as a tool to build relationships. And I love using it for market research, right? And mm-hmm. I'll say, do you mind if I ask you one question? And then my question is, what are you doing consistently that is bringing you results in your business? Mm. And people, like 85% of the time, will answer the question, which really actually helps move the conversation along. It gives me a lot of good insight into how I can serve them or maybe introduce them to somebody else or give them some type of resource. And it is market research for me too. It's always good to have data. And yep. so I always like to say, you know, whatever you do for a living, what is a question that you could ask someone that really would help you in your business, if even if the relationship never went anywhere? That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
but that works really well for me.
Yeah, I love that question. I might even steal it and test it out.
Go for it. So, you know, we did touch a little bit on that, you know, on our profile. What are the most important things in your opinion? Because here's one of the things that, you know, I talked earlier about how, you know, we think this is the way to do it and things change and we don't always change. And I remember when I first got on LinkedIn, or really started using LinkedIn, I should say, you know, putting hashtags in your headline worked, right? You know, I mean, you know, I hashtagged that I was a speaker and I hashtagged that I was, but I don't do that anymore. Like, because I think the hashtags just take up space. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to do it anymore. I think we just did it because we thought it made it stand out, you know, but I yep. think now it is just so much more important to use that space wisely. And I always try to also, for myself, but I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it as you're the authority, to put something personal in there too, like something interesting, right? Because I have to tell you, in my profiles, one of the things that I say, and really all my social media, is that I love coffee and shoes.
Ooh.
Those are two things that I really love. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, more times than not, when people respond to me, especially yeah. women, they will say, oh, I love shoes too, right? Yeah. You know, and then the conversation will start with shoes, or yes. they'll say, oh, I don't drink coffee, but I love tea. And I'll say, oh, what's your favorite flavor of tea? Like, and it's a good conversation starter, and they get yeah. that, and they yeah. always, I find that if I send them uh-huh. a request, somewhere in their response, they will say something about that. Even if it's to say, you know, I could put all my shoes in one, you know, even if they don't really like shoes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I say, depending on how much space I have, I'll say, I love coffee, shoes, and puppies. Like, those are like my three favorite things besides family and friends, right? So when I say that, it usually people like one of those, right?
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes. No, absolutely. And that is a technique to add, you know, what I could call kind of a fun fact at the end of our headline. And we are actually lucky right now, because in the last few months, LinkedIn has increased the number of characters in your headline. And the headline are the words that appear underneath your name. So it used to be 100 characters, And now it is 200 and maybe 204 characters. So there's a lot more space there so that we can include something like that, that can be a conversation starter. You know, and you know, I talk to a lot of women who they'll say that, you know, I'm a very private person. I don't want to share my personal things, but you brought up something that, you know, is kind of personal, but not private. There's a difference between personal and private. So it's personal that you like coffee and shoes, but it's not, you know, particularly private. So I always tell people to think of LinkedIn as just whatever you talk about at an online at a face-to-face networking event. That's the sort of thing that you can talk about online on LinkedIn. So I think that's an excellent thing to do. What people really need to do is differentiate themselves using the headline, because LinkedIn uses your default title and company as the default headline. And that really doesn't differentiate ourselves. And we're missing a great opportunity to get people to be attracted to our profile, what I call magnetizing your profile. When we have something that's, you know, professional coach at Thrive 365 Coaching, for example, our headline on LinkedIn follows us around whenever we are engaging with other people. Unlike Facebook, where just our name and our profile picture are, on LinkedIn, our name, our face, and our headline follow us around. So if I were to comment on something that you wrote, a post, it has my name and face and headline. And if somebody, you know, happens to take a look at the comment and they're interested in what I offer, then they're more inclined to click on it and view my profile. So I think I got a little distracted because you came up with a great idea for the headline. But I go from the top down in a LinkedIn profile. And what a lot of people are not doing is putting a good profile picture in. Now, the profile picture is the picture of you that's in the round circle. This is a place where you want to be a professional, or at least as professional as you would appear when you visited somebody. We need to remember that many people are looking at LinkedIn on their mobile phone. And so that circle is really tiny. So our face should take up at least 60% of that, you know, and there shouldn't be any, you know, hands on our shoulders from somebody else, or, you know, a lot of people put their wedding picture or other people. It should really be us. Then the cover photo, which many people who haven't looked at LinkedIn in a while aren't even aware of. It's kind of like Facebook. It's a banner behind it. And as they say, pictures are worth a thousand words. What is your cover banner saying about you? If your cover banner is the default, which is a light blue with white dots and lines, then what is that saying? And we are missing a huge piece of real estate to attract people. Some of the cover banners that I've done, I really try to get across the idea. Like if somebody's a speaker, we'll put a picture of them speaking. If they're an author, we'll put a picture of their book. If they've appeared on television, we'll, you know, put the credentials there. These are things that can instantaneously give us credibility and let people know what we're about.
So do you think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Do mm-hmm. you think that we should be putting text in the cover header?
We can put a small amount of text that, again, we should look at the text on our mobile phone and see if it can be read on our mobile device. So, you know, sometimes people will put their contact info, which, you know, the easier we make it for people to contact us, the better, or they can put a tagline. But I wouldn't put a lot of text there because people can't read it. And when we get frustrated, we'll just move on to something else.
I think that makes sense. Mine just says plug in, power up, get paid, like short and sweet. But it explains why my logo has a plug, right? You know, and so I feel like that is what I put there, but I do think it is really important. But I really want to ask you about another thing quick. I know you're talking about that, but it's in the same place. One of the things I just recently changed because somebody told me to, and I was like, is how much space we have in the field where our last name goes. And there's a lot of smaller space there than just, you know, if your last name, you know, if your name's John Doe, right? You know, there's a lot more characters there. And we should use that wisely. Although I have seen people where they use it and they have all their alphabet and all that stuff. And then it doesn't kind of seem like it flows so well when it shows up when people are tagging you. and stuff, but I do think that if you do it appropriately, you can.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last thing.
But I do think that if you use it correctly, it can be beneficial and also give you more space in your headline.
Well, you know, we can experiment, and you're gonna see every variation out there. I think putting a couple of our degrees, if we have them there, is fine. I don't think it should be, you know, a long litany, because as you said, it does get distracting. LinkedIn's rules are really that just should be your name and any credentials. We really shouldn't be putting, you know, adding digital marketing or, you know, marketing expert or anything like that in our name. That's what our headline is for. And that is probably one of the reasons why they, you know, double the space to put there. So that's,
well, the reality is, though, the amount of characters there are in that field, I'd like to know somebody who has that many characters in their name. You know what I mean?
Well, the name is actually a separate field from the headline. So the name, I don't know how many characters they have for the name. I have kind of a long name with my maiden name in it. It fits that. So it's fairly substantial.
Well, but I think that really works. What are the top three areas of their LinkedIn profile that are the most important?
So as we talked about, we need to put a picture in our profile, and we should put a picture in our cover banner as well. So that's number one. And I treat those as the same as the images, because many people are very suspect of profiles that don't have a profile picture there. They're saying, you know, what is that person hiding? And it really should be a profile picture that's in the last 5 years. We should recognize you if we met you on a Zoom call or face to face. So the images are very important, because they're very eye catching, and people want to see us. I know that especially women, we're very hard on ourselves and we don't like our pictures. But as far as I know, you know, when I've shown up someplace, nobody has gone screaming, running out of the room. So, you know, it really helps to see a picture of me, that I'm a real person. So the second most important, after the two pictures up top, is your headline. And as we talked before, the headline is a place to really think about what your client will be searching for and put those words in the headline. Many people, like I said before, they try to be cute, or they want to talk about themselves, but that is a place that is very important to think about what people are typing and use the keywords. The third most important thing to do is to fill out your about section and add what I call the so that's. And what I mean by that is our about section, and this is true on a website too, is really not about us as much as it's about how what we do can help our clients. So we should be very, very straightforward about who we serve and how we help them and what the results are that they can get. We want to entice people to keep reading. And a lot of people are missing a call to action at the end of their about section. Now, since I have an engineering background, you know, I kind of thought it was silly. It's like, if somebody's interested, of course they're going to call me. Of course they should email me. But people are so busy these days, they really act more promptly if we tell them what to do. And whether the call to action is, you know, give me a call, email me, download something, we really should tell them what the next step is that we want them to do. And it doesn't hurt to add the contact information right there, in addition to the area in the profile where there's the contact info normally.
That makes sense. What would you say are the best practices for these top three areas? We want to attract our ideal client. What's the best practices?
Well, in the profile picture, again, we want to make sure that our face has a pleasant expression, that our face takes up about 60% of the area. There is a website called photofeeler.com where you can actually get feedback from people on your profile picture. So, you know, they'll give you feedback like, you know, do you seem stern? Do you seem approachable? You know, stuff like that. So people can go check that out. That's kind of fun. We talked about the cover banner being an area where we can instantaneously let people know what we do. And if there's any kind of credibility, such as a book author, or we've appeared on TV or radio, we can put those credentials there. If we've won an award, we might be able to put a symbol up there, or just generally get people something about us. And it could be a conversation starter, just like what you mentioned, you know, with the coffee and the shoes. With the next part is the headline, where we talked about keywords. And I'll mention here one of the, somebody who I was helping. It's not what I'm focusing on, but he was somebody I knew. So I was helping him with a job search, and he wanted to get into the drone industry. And so he had taken a test that's, you know, called a PRT 107 test, and he passed it. And so I said, that's great. You know, put it in your LinkedIn profile. People might be searching for that. Well, unbeknownst to me, he put it on in the headline. And 3 days later, I was just doing a search for this PRT 107 to see if there is any other keywords that I could suggest to him. And his profile came up third in the search. And that is amazing, that of all the things that Google could have decided was important to put when I typed PRT 107, it was my client's LinkedIn profile. So that just showed to me how key finding, you know, the right words are to put in that area. So that just blew me away.
That is interesting. So what is a top tip you were going to share about how you don't look like a LinkedIn newbie? Nobody wants that.
You probably already have this, but one of the most things that stands out about somebody who doesn't have that much experience on LinkedIn is if they have not customized their URL. Now, the default URL is linkedin.com/IN/, and then it's usually your first name, last name, and then a bunch of numbers at the end. So that means that somebody either didn't know or they haven't yet customized it. It is possible to customize your URL so that it has, you know, your name. And if your name is a common name, then you can add other keywords like, you know, Patty Farmer Marketer or, you know, something like that. It's not only adds a little bit of credibility, because if we see that somebody has done that, we know that they know a little bit about LinkedIn. They've done their research. And it can also add some, you know, LinkedIn keyword juice as well.
I love that. Thank you so much, Linda. You were so generous in sharing your zone of genius, and we appreciate that so much. My pleasure. How can our audience connect with you?
The best way is you can email me at linda@lindawaterhouse.com, or they can go to my website, which is lindawaterhouse.com. And those are probably the best ways to reach me. I invite everybody to connect with me on LinkedIn. And if in your connection message, you said that you heard us on Patty Farmer's podcast, then I will be sure to connect with you.
Oh, I love that. And this is the portion of our show where we turn over the mic. You know, I call it #openmic, my version of social media karaoke. Mm-hmm. And we turn over the mic to our guests. And this is where I really invite you. I mean, you were so generous. If we had to narrow it down to what is the number one marketing, media, and money strategy, what would it be?
How long do I have to talk about this?
Not very long. No.
Well, what I want to stress is that the goal of LinkedIn should be to earn the right to have a conversation with somebody. And by that, I mean, you know, as we talked about before, these spammy techniques of, you know, trying to give people things or ask for a phone call too early just don't work these days. People are too busy. So we want to make sure that we are starting conversations, not just, you know, connect and forget. We want to give people a reason to start a conversation and understand that nobody really buys things on LinkedIn. We still need that human to human interaction, whether it's on a phone call or these days on a Zoom call or something like that. So I really look at that as what that should be our ultimate goal of using LinkedIn, starting conversations and finding out if it's a good match to see if, you know, we can either help each other as referral partners or if they could be a client.
Perfect. I love that. And you came bearing a gift as well. So tell us a little bit about the gift. Well, 20 minutes, like a gift that we can do in 20 minutes. I love it.
Oh, you stole my thunder there, Patty.
Sorry.
Only kidding. You know, one of the biggest questions that I get is either, I go on LinkedIn and I just lurk because I don't know what to do. Or they say, it just takes so much time. And I want to say that, you know, being consistent is much more important than spending a lot of time, and that if we take a little bit of time every day or a few times a week, it really helps. So I have come up with a 5-step daily routine that people can use that can guide them as to when they go on LinkedIn, what are the top 5 things that they should be doing when they get there.
I love that.
I think when people are guided and they have a quick little system, they can be much more effective in a shorter amount of time.
I absolutely think so. And we're going to make sure that we have that link in the show notes for you, as well as another little guide that she has on how professionals can stand out from the crowd on LinkedIn. So that's going to help you. And we'll have that in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, Linda. I really appreciate you being here with me today.
I really enjoyed it and hope that people got some good tips.
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of writer downers and golden nuggets there. And I'm sure that they took lots of notes. I took notes as well. So to the audience, thank you so much for spending time with us today and joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And make sure to join us in either our Facebook group that we have, our LinkedIn group, and check out our sister publication, the Marketing Media and Money Magazine, where you can right now grab a free lifetime subscription by going to marketingmediamoney.com. Thank you so much for being here. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Remember, you can make it a phenomenal day. And if it's not already phenomenal, you have the power to change it. Thank you so much. We will see you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.